Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
You have to be a man who has found your origins in God, not just for the physical life that He gave you, but for the spiritual life that He born you into.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Men need the church. The church needs men. And America is in desperate need of men of God. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, small book. I'm going to give you a couple minutes to find 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I want to set up where we're going to start reading in verse 11. So 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 11, but there's a few verses that I just want to refer to. Paul is speaking to Timothy about men that are not godly, but they are living their lives in such a way as to use a form of godliness or what looks like godliness for their own gain. And in verse 5, he speaks of these useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Paul says, from such withdraw yourself. Verse 6, he says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Look at verse 10, it's familiar. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many arrows. I want you to see specifically verse 11 and 12 we'll use as our text today. Verse 11 and 12, Paul says, but you, O man of God, declaring that title over the listener and specifically Timothy, but you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. He says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. But you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Here's what I want to do for the next few minutes. I want to preach a sermon that I've entitled, What is a Man of God? If I were to take the microphone and go around the room like the roving reporter and ask several of you, what is a man of God? I believe we'd get across this room and get a lot of really good responses. And I don't know that you can define that in one word or one sentence, but hey, we get a lot of good ideas. What is a man of God? Well, God's given me some things I want to share with you this morning, because I believe our homes desperately need men of God. I believe our families need men of God. I believe this church needs a revival of men of God, and I believe this nation is crying out for true men of God. So I want to preach a sermon entitled, What is a Man of God? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thank you, God, for this moment. Thank you for what you want to do. Now, God, if I can't be the one that you can use for this, I pray that you get me out of the way and that you do it in spite of me. Because I believe, Heavenly Father, this is a message that is desperately needed today. Would you take the words of a simple-minded man and would you use my mind, my voice in this moment to glorify your Son, to bring glory to your kingdom, to inspire us to greater places. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, everybody say this with me. Say, a man of God. Here's what I want to do for the next few minutes. I want to take that simple phrase, and I want to really focus in on one word in it. Okay, this is going to, I'm a simple guy. I think simply, so it's easy for you to follow. I want to look at one word out of the phrase, a man of God. And let me cut out a few words we're not going to spend the time examining. I'm not going to spend time examining a man out of the phrase, a man of God. We could take some time to do that. Hey, there's a need for that in this culture, in the society we live in today, to really look at the concept of what is a man. Now, we understand that in this church, we understand that a man is the gender, the male gender of the human species. No doubt about that. A husband, a father, a son, a friend, an employer, an employee, a minister, a disciple. All of these roles may represent what a man is, but I'm not going to take time examining that today. There is one word I do want to look at, though, but it's not a man, and it's not even the word God. Now, we could spend a month of Sundays discussing that one, right? The concept of God, as much as He will allow us to understand of what He is and who He is, but we understand He is the necessary, transcendent being, all-powerful, all-knowing, the all-present God of the Bible, creator, judge, justifier, sustainer, heavenly Father. Hey, aren't you glad to know a little bit about who God is this morning? But we're not going to look at the word man, and we're not going to look so much at the word God. I'd like to spend a few moments today studying the word of. It's a simple word. Two letters. Not even very exciting letters. I think there's even more exciting letters than an O and an F. But I believe that I can learn some things about what a man of God is by taking a few moments to examine one word, the word of. That's what we're going to do today. Say, David, how in the world are you going to build a sermon out of that? Well, I'd already prayed and asked God to do it. Amen. I took a look in the English dictionary. I was surprised to find something out, church. The little bitty tiny word of. There are 17 different ways we use the word of in the English language. 17 uses of the word of. So immediately, I've got a 17-point sermon. Don't worry, we're not going there. Here's what I am going to do, though. I was really inspired by looking in the dictionary to see what does the word of mean? How do we use that in the English language? And I just want to use three uses of the word of to get us to a place where we might better understand what a man of God is this morning. If you understand what we're going to do, say amen. Three looks at the word of inside the phrase man of God. Here's the first one. In the English language, sometimes we use the word of to denote origin. Origin. So let me give you some examples of that. Jesus of Nazareth. All right? Saul of Tarsus. Joy, I want you to fill this one in for me. Wes of... She don't know where her husband lives. Genoa, right? Emily, you want me to do one for you? No? Kelly of Ashdown, Richmond, the big city. David of number 17, Rose of Sharon. You follow me? Sometimes the word of denotes origin. So let's look at this for a minute, because one of the verses that we read in 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, it says this. Paul, he exhorts Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Now watch this. Lay hold, watch, of eternal life. To lay hold of it means to seize it strongly, to put a grip on that thing. Lay hold of eternal life in such a way that you are called to it and in the way that you confess it in your daily life. I want to show you that a man of God has his origins in God the Father. There are two words in the Greek that describe the word life. Lay hold of eternal life. Two Greek words that describe the word life. The first one is bios. Everybody say bios. Right here in the Greek class. Bios means natural life or physical life. Everybody in here, raise your right hand. Come on. Everybody, right hand. Okay, some of you, this other right hand. Good. If you're raising a hand right now, you have bios. You have natural life, physical life. There's another Greek word for life, and it's zoe. Any girls in here named Zoe? Let me tell you what zoe means. Zoe means spiritual life. So bios is natural life. Zoe is spiritual life. Here's the point that we're going to make really quickly. To be a man of God, a man whose origins is in God, you must obtain both kinds. You have to be a man who has found your origins in God, not just for the physical life that He gave you, but for the spiritual life that He born you into. Jesus made this very clear in John 3, verse 5. He's speaking to Nicodemus, and He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born," watch this, "of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Here's what Jesus says. You've got to have both kinds of life to get into the kingdom of heaven. You've got to have natural life. That's what He was saying when He referred to the water. You've got to have the spiritual life. You've got to be born of both, or you're not a man of God. Now, that seems quite obvious, doesn't it? And you would say, "David, well, we understand that. You got to be a Christian to be a man of God." But here's what I want you to hear. God has already caused you, every man in here, to be born that bios life, born of water, born in physical life. But listen, just because you believe there is a God, just because you believe in a historical Jesus that did live and did die, even though you might believe He was resurrected from the grave, hey, just because you've attended 1,000 church services and heard more sermons than you can memorize does not necessarily mean that God, the giver of spiritual life, has caused you to be born a second time. We got to talk about this thing. This is very important because I am of the opinion, listen to me now, I am of the opinion that in most churches on any given Sunday, there's roughly about 75% of the people we go to church with regularly that will see the kingdom of heaven. I said that differently. I said it wrongly. Let me say it again. I believe that in any given church service, for the people that go to church on a regular basis, only about 25% are saved. Let me say it to you this way. Billy Graham made a statement one time. Billy Graham said this. Anybody value what Billy Graham would have to say? Billy Graham said that 80% of people we go to church with on any given Sunday are not going to ever go to heaven. They're lost. That means, according to Billy Graham, only 20% will make it. 8 out of 10. All right? So, W.A. Criswell was a pastor at First Baptist Dallas for many years. W.A. Criswell, he said 85%. 85% of regular churchgoers will never see heaven. That's pretty impactful. A.W. Tozer, great modern-day theologian, he said 90% will never make it. Now think about it. If I were to stand up 10 people in the room right now and say, "You sit down, you sit down, you sit down, you sit down," leave two of them standing up. That would represent, if these guys are right, on average, how many out of 10 in this room right now will actually make it? That's pretty striking, isn't it? Does that not make you go, "Wait a minute. Now how is that?" Well, they're just men, right? They can't really know statistically that. They're guessing based on maybe what they think is their opinion. But what about what Jesus thinks? How about Jesus' opinion? What if He gave a stat? That would be valid, wouldn't it? You know what Jesus said? He said 75% will not make it. Three out of four. Anybody remember when Jesus taught that? Gave the stats? You remember the parable of the sower? Or the parable of the four soils? He said man's heart is represented by one of four soils, and three out of those four will never receive seed, will never grow fruit, will never be saved. And that's when Jesus Christ is the one preaching and teaching it. What are you saying, David? I say it's worth looking inside to see, am I the real deal? Because, you can make it look like whatever you want it to look like on Sunday morning. We do it all the time. I call it church face. Anybody ever had church face? You come into church, your life's broken, you're hurting, you ain't happy, but you walk in, as soon as you hit the door, you smile. How you doing? How you doing? Blessed, blessed, blessed. Thank you. You ain't feeling blessed. You're broken, you're hurting. But we can pretend like we're all right. Jesus made a startling statement in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not done great signs and wonders in your name? And he said, I will declare to them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. These are people that were doing all the religious stuff. If you've not experienced true rebirth of the Spirit, you can pretend, but you are not a man of God. What does it take then? It's easy. It takes lordship. Lordship. It takes getting to a place in your life where you're through playing games with Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm talking to the men, but everybody in here needs to listen. You got to stop playing games. You got to stop pretending. You got to stop acting like this is a game where you're going to act a certain way to get a few things. Hey, this ain't let's make a deal. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He will not accept a half-stepping, fair-weather Christian. You're in or you're out. I've been in the services. I've been in the service when an altar call came and a man came walking from that aisle. This came down here, gave his life to Jesus Christ, an elderly man. He had been teaching the senior adult Sunday school class for decades. Just got saved. Hey, the 1st of March, we are in revival in Atlanta, Texas. And one of the tenured deacons in that church gave his life to Jesus Christ. I have seen a pastor who had been pastoring churches from the age 17 to 33 get saved. Knew him well. He's my father. He'd been pastoring 15 years. These are men who had been fooling everybody, including themselves. But God knew all along, you've never received a second birth. A man of God must have his origins, both physically and spiritually, in God. Only you and the Heavenly Father know where you stand. Secondly, I want you to see this. Sometimes we use the word of to denote origin. Sometimes in the English language we use the word of to denote a smaller part of the whole. Not H-O-L-E, the whole with a W. A smaller part of the whole. Now Kelly, you look confused for a second, brother. Let me help you out here. Let me give you some examples of this usage of the word of. How about this? A piece of cake. A smaller part of the whole. All right? Here's another one. A pinch of salt, right? A little bit out of the hole. All right, let's think of another one. How about a dollop of daisy? You remember a dollop of daisy? Do a dollop, do a dollop, no? Not coming to mind? Dollop of Daisy. Yeah. Okay. Just take my word for it. It's an of thing. Huh? How many have ever had a dollop of Daisy? Sour cream lovers in the house? Amen. A smaller part of the whole. We can look at the concept of being a man of God using this concept. If you're a man of God, you're going to show the concept of being a smaller part of the greater whole. And here's how that looks to me. When you examine a smaller part of the greater whole, you should find that the basic characteristics of the smaller part is the same as the basic characteristics of the whole. Okay, what are you talking about? I'm talking about a piece of cake. How many like carrot cake? Amen. Three layers on that thing. Cream cheese icing. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. And that thing was made just for me, and it's about that tall, about that big around, and it's good looking, smells great, whole kitchen smells good, and I get the first piece. And it's not going to be little. So I cut my piece out of that thing. Now, here's what I know. All of the ingredients that make up the whole cake are the same ingredients I would find in the piece of cake. Right? This one is perhaps just a little bit more difficult to visualize. And I'm a visual person. So I want to show you something that may help you. So I'm going to get a couple of helpers. Taylor, come up here. Will you help me for a second, Tate? Come here. I want to show you of, smaller part of the whole. And all right, here, take this, Tate, and hold it kind of at the bottom so everybody can see the cup. There you go. You hold that one. Just stand right out there. Here we go. Smaller part of the whole. We'll consider this pitcher of water to be the whole, all right? Are you nervous or anything? Okay, you're good. So if the whole then is God, our Father, Heavenly Father, and He is everything and all is in Him, and then Tate here, hold it kind of toward the bottom so they can see what I want them to be able to see the glass. So Tate, if he wants to be a man of God and he gives his life to Jesus Christ and he finds his origins then in Christ, spiritually born, so what happens then is from the whole, that which is of the whole pours into Tate and suddenly he becomes a smaller part of the greater whole. And everything that was in here is now represented and should be found in here. Are you with me? All right, here. Just be careful now. Don't make a mess. You're not supposed to have drinks in church. All right. I'm going to show you this one more time. I love illustrations that make things click for me. Don't go anywhere, Tate. I want you to see this again. So out of the whole and into the smaller part, but everything that is true for the whole should be true for the part. If you're a man of God, you should be, the basic ingredients, the smaller characteristics in the small should be the same as the whole, right? You would expect this to look like that and this to look like that. Okay, you would never, if somebody says, I am a man of God, and that means that the whole is being poured into the part, and they say they're a man of God, but when you look at the basic characteristics of their life, you examine this and you examine that and suddenly you realize there's a problem here. Because the basic characteristics of what's in the whole doesn't match up with the basic characteristics of the part. So you can say you're a man of God all day, but when I examine the whole and I examine the part, if I see such a difference, I'm going to know something's amiss. All right. Taylor, I don't know how you did that, but man... by the way, doesn't look like you look like God. You need to get saved, brother. Put it here. Put it here. Right there you go. Thank you, guys. If you're a man of God, if you're a man of God, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Son has been poured into your life. Right? Roger said last night he's taken up shop. I like that. The Spirit of the Son has taken up shop, has been poured into you. Hey, let me tell you something about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to express Jesus to you and through you. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to express Jesus to you and through. Jesus said it like this of the Holy Spirit, John 16:14. He said, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. He will take what is mine and he will give it to you. He will pour out of the whole into the part. The beautiful thing about that is if you've got the real deal inside you and you've been born of water and you've been born of spirit and you're the part, but man, you're matching to the whole. Hey, when you pour yourself and what's in you into the next person, it's the same thing as the whole pouring into them. Look, we can transfer the goodness of God when we've got the real thing from us to somebody else because we're giving from the whole. Amen? Come on, man of God. You've got to be that basic characteristic. So, David, what are the basic characteristics then? How does this really work? You're talking in generalities. Let me give you some specifics. Philippians 2:5 says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." There's one of the parts. There's one of the basic characteristics. The mind of Jesus ought to be found inside us. We ought to think thoughts like him. We ought to consider situations like he does. Listen to this one. John 13:35. "By this all will know that you are my disciples." Watch. "If you love one another." What is it saying? Here's a basic characteristic of a man of God. The love of Jesus Christ ought to be found in your life. The love of Jesus ought to be in you. You ought to love God with that love. You ought to love one another with that love. Let me show you another basic characteristic. John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." That's a basic characteristic of a man of God. That when the circumstances of life are shaking everybody around you, you have the ability to stand up in the struggle and have peace. Anybody know David Talley and the Talley family? Boy, he led the Crusaders for many years. He passed away 9:30 last night. You know what I know? That family's struggling today. Father's Day of all days. My heart goes out to them. Been praying for them when God puts them on my mind. Let me tell you something else I know about that family. If we had the honor to see through the window of that house into that living room, they're probably crying. They're probably hurting. But they're living in the peace and the hope of what they know about David. Even in the worst parts of life, the basic characteristics of a man of God will hold true. Acts 1:8 says this, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you."
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.